Let's pray together. Father God, it's all because of Jesus we're alive. We are here, we are present, not because we're trying to earn something, not because of any reason other than Jesus made it possible for us to be in relationship with you, for us to be where we were created to be. And so we sing with creation, we sing with the heavens, we sing with everything. Your praise, your glory, because you are worthy, because we are thankful. Father God, as we dig into your word now this morning, we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that you would speak to us, that we'd be challenged, that we'd be drawn deeper in relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to dive right into Scripture. We're going to dive right into Ephesians chapter 2. So if you want to pull out your Bible or power up your device as you see fit. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. This is the passage that we're going to kind of be circling around this morning and studying through a little bit. But we're going to just start by reading it together, and then we'll dive in a little further. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, it'll be on the screen as well for you if you need. Paul says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen. Amen. This summer, we are working through a series called Speak. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it's coming out of a passage in Ephesians chapter 5, a little bit later in this same letter that we just read from, where again, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he's talking about unity in the church. He's talking about doing things together, about how the life of the church is supposed to be the life of the body, of one unit working together, and importantly, worshiping together. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, kind of where we're centering this summer. "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs in the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Singing has always been a huge part of worship. Singing is a huge component of how we worship together. You go all the way back, thousands of years, as far back as you want in the Old Testament, and we have tons of songs written down all the way back even into Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. We have songs recorded of what God's people used to worship him. It's lots in the Psalms in particular. We have 150 or so, and some of them even in the writing right at the top, it says for use in worship, or a song of ascent when the people were coming to Jerusalem for different festivals and ceremonies. It was songs that they were supposed to be singing as they went, as they traveled together. But all through the Old Testament, it's not just in the Psalms, but all through the Old Testament, even in the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel, we have psalms and songs recorded. And they cover all kinds of things. Because worship and singing together isn't just about happiness, isn't just about just always being positive. There's songs of praise declaring who God is, and that's super important. But there's also songs of history, remembering what God has done. That was something that was extremely important to the Hebrew people, to God's chosen people, remembering what God has done, how they got to where they were. Those weren't always happy memories. There's lots of really, really tough seasons in the history of Israel. But they had songs to remember, to remind themselves of how they got where they were. There's songs of mourning, calling out to God for help and for forgiveness. Singing is a big deal to us. It always has been. It's communal. It's relational. It's emotional. It's spiritual. And not just in the Old Testament, from right at the beginning of the church. In the New Testament, there are lots of examples of even Jesus with his disciples singing hymns. It says, before they went out, they finished with a hymn and then they left. And different passages like that. But all through the church, it talks about, even the instructions that Paul gives us of what we're supposed to do when we get together. We're supposed to sing. That's one of the things that we're supposed to do. It's in the fabric. It's in the DNA of the church, of us as the church. It's part of what we are. Singing and songs help us to worship together. They help us to align our hearts together with God as one. And they teach us about God. At least the good ones do, anyways. So many of the hymns that we sing, hymns from decades and centuries past, were actually written as teaching tools by the great pastors and theologians of the past. How do you teach illiterate people Scripture? How do you teach illiterate people God's Word in a way that they will remember it? You use art. Songs and paintings and sculptures and images. Old churches had beautiful stained glass windows and paintings in them depicting a huge variety of stories and truths from Scripture. I don't know if you've ever been to St. George's Ukrainian Catholic Parish in Edmonton. I'm sure you all have at various points. But I visited it as part of a seminary class, and this is it. This is what it looks like. It looks like a cartoon, almost. It's so bright and colorful, floor to ceiling, and all over the ceiling, covered with beautiful paintings. This is right in Edmonton, one of our churches there. It's filled with paintings of people and stories from the Bible, just because it looks nice? Sure. But mostly to help people learn and remember the stories. We dig up ancient churches in Ethiopia and the Middle East and all over North Africa, and we're uncovering incredible tile mosaics, beautiful, colorful artwork in these ancient churches, reaching back right to within a couple hundred years of Jesus, right at the beginning of the church. Art mattered. And these mosaics depict stories from the Bible or truths from Scripture to help the people remember and understand who God is and what He's doing. Again, the great pastors and theologians of the past, Wesley and Luther and Newton and many other preachers and theologians, wrote hymns to help the church understand God and His Word. They took familiar tunes even, bar tunes in different songs, and they put Scripture to it because these were songs that people knew, they were catchy, they remembered them, and the words got stuck in your mind. Scripture gets filled in your mind. Even the vast majority of our new worship songs today, we always pretend like there's this big distinction between old hymns and new worship songs. The new songs, the vast majority of them, are not only referencing Scripture, they are word for word Scripture. I was driving about 6 months ago. I was listening to Shine FM and a new song came on the radio. I'd never heard it before. It was a worship song. And I don't know. I know none of you ever get this way, but I was in a little bit of a critical mood that day. Maybe somebody had cut me off or something. And the song started playing and I started thinking, this is terrible. Who wrote this? It was like every Christian cliche strung together back to back. It was just so patronizing and oh. And I discovered later it was actually a psalm, word for word. So, not great on me, but so many of the worship songs that we sing are word for word. The brand new ones that are being written today are word for word, straight out of Scripture. The artists of our time that are writing the music of today for the church of today are drawing on the same words that we've been using for thousands of years. And we bring them to life in our culture, for us today, in ways that we can connect with the people of the past and with our Father in heaven. These are words that God gave us so that we could understand Him, so we can relate to Him, and we are turning those back to Him in our songs. Music, art, poetry. These are all deeply connected to who we are and are such a huge part of what God created us to be and how we can experience Him. Especially when we ground those things in His Word, as so much of the music we use is. So that's what we're trying to explore this summer. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, the words and music that we use to worship. We want to understand what we're talking about. We want to understand what we're singing. We want to understand where it comes from and why we sing and speak these words. Last week we talked about Psalm 19, this incredible passage that just so clearly declares the glory and wonder and majesty of God through what He has created. How our universe so clearly reflects and displays His glory and power and intelligence and love. And this week we're going to talk about one of the worship songs that we sing here at LFC. We're going to talk about All Because of Jesus by Steve Fee. We actually sang it right before the sermon today. Every now and again, we're able to get our ducks in a row and actually do these things together. Doesn't it work good? I only let him know on like Wednesday, so I feel sorry for him. But Isaiah did a great job of pulling it together. But this is a song that I've led a number of times. I love leading that song. I just love the truths that it communicates that we can declare together. It's such a simple song. It's only one verse and one chorus. But what it says is so powerful and so profound. And as I was preparing for this message and learning more about how it came together, it was amazing to see how God leads our artists and our musicians to prepare His people for worship. All Because of Jesus. It's a song that we've sung many times. It's a song about worshiping God for His love and His care, and how the entire reason we can do that is because Jesus was willing to submit to His Father and redeem us and give us life. Steve Fee says that he wrote the first verse a long time ago, and it came together relatively quickly. He said it just kind of flowed right out of him. Giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to You be the glory. Already, there's so much Scripture evident here. It hints at Psalm 139 or Genesis 1 and Colossians 1 and Matthew 7. It goes on. Maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend Your worth. King over all the universe, to You be the glory. Steve really captures the power and the presence of God in these words and how much we really rely on Him for everything in our lives. Giver of every breath I breathe. Every breath is a gift from God. Every moment we live is by His sustaining grace. We know how fragile life is. Psalm 103 says, the life of men is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. We are so fragile. We are so temporary. And we rely on God so much more than we truly understand, whether we acknowledge Him or not. Whether we use that breath to praise Him or curse Him or ignore Him entirely, God provides each one that we might have the opportunity to praise Him, that we might have the opportunity to submit to Him. He is in control. Whether we acknowledge Him or not, of every breath, every heartbeat, of every person ever. The next line goes on, giver of every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, the creator of time and space itself. And we talked about that last week. That is who we are singing to here. When we talk about how fragile we are and how intimate that is, giver of every breath I breathe, the very next line reminds us just how powerful and other God truly is. King over all the universe. He has no equal. He is God and God alone. It's a wonderful verse. Powerful verse. It sings really well and it captures a profound reality. An amazing truth, the intimacy we have in relationship with God as He cares for every hair on our head, for every moment of our lives, but the fact that at the same time He is so holy and pure and so far beyond our understanding. So this verse came together pretty quickly. But he said it was over 4 years later that he was finally able to write the chorus. He didn't know where this song was supposed to go, and he prayed about it, and he waited, and he waited. And he was studying Ephesians chapter 2. We read it at the beginning. So let's read it again together here. Ephesians chapter 2, he was studying verses 1 to 10 when the chorus came together for him. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, all of us, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ, seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, not by anything we can do, so that none of us can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It was from this passage that the chorus came together. I'm alive because I'm alive in you. We sing as we lead into the chorus. And then we sing, it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. We begin singing about how we rely on God for our very breath, for every heartbeat. And how incredible that is because He cares about us. The King of the universe cares about you. but not just so that we can exist, but so that we can be alive. Verse 4 and 5, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in sin. It's by grace you have been saved. When we were dead in our sin, Jesus made us alive through his death. Through the grace and mercy of God, life. This is what Jesus came to give. That's what he came to do. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. That's why he came, abundant life. He said that when he was writing this song and studying through Ephesians 2, he understood that Jesus didn't come to make Or Jesus didn't die to make bad people into good people. He died to make dead people into living people. It's so much deeper and more profound than behavior. It's a complete transformation of what we are. The purpose of Jesus' death wasn't to make us good, it was to make us alive. We weren't bad, we were dead. We were separated from God forever. He wants to give us life, abundant life, full life, true life, lived with him forever. It was a gift. Out of his incredible grace and mercy that we could live with him here and now, today, and forever. We were made in the image of God, made to be with him, to live with him, to enjoy him forever. And our sin ruined that. It ruined us. Our selfishness made it impossible for us to be with God, the one thing, person in the universe that matters. And there was nothing we could do about it. Nothing we could do about it. None of us can be good enough to do it. In fact, none of us can be good at all. Isaiah chapter 64 tells us all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts, the best things we can do are like filthy rags. It's not a matter of degrees. We were dead. Even the good things we try to do are steeped in our selfishness and brokenness and sin. We were finished. Until Jesus said, it is finished. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ has covered me and raised this dead man's life. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sin. It is by grace we have been saved. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what we're singing about. This is why we sing this song. Our God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the King over all the universe, the one and only and true God who gives us each breath and has given us life. This morning we're going to celebrate communion together because it's all because of Jesus that we're alive. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take time this morning and we're going to celebrate that. We are going to remember that and we are going to worship him in that. For communion at LFC, we have these crosses set up around the room, and I would invite you as an individual, as a family, to come up as you feel led. We're going to play a little bit of music and we'll take a few minutes. Come up as you feel led and take the elements. If you come as an individual, take some time, meditate, think about what Jesus has done for you, and think about this abundant life that he offers. If you come with friends or as a family, pray together. Thank God, ask him to lead you deeper into that abundant life. Where are you still scared? Where are you still holding back, trying to control things yourself when he wants you to step into true freedom in life? If you're not able to make it to one of the crosses, I'm going to just grab a couple of the trays here. So just raise your hand and I'll bring the elements to you, and that's fine. But let's enjoy this together this morning. Let's remember and celebrate the life that Jesus has brought for us that we sing about all the time. Let's pray together and then we'll take communion. Father God, we thank you for these artists, these incredibly talented poets and musicians who write these things that we can use to worship you, that we can use together, that draw our hearts and our minds to the same place, God, that we can focus on your word, that we can focus on you together in this incredible way. Music is so amazing. It touches us in such a profound way, and we thank you for that, Father. God, as we have opportunity to sing these songs together, Father, I pray that it would never be just happening in the background, or that we wouldn't be disengaged, Father, but that we would be paying attention to the words that we sing, that we would be fully present here together with you in these songs. Father, as we celebrate communion this morning, as we sing about and talk about the sacrifice of Jesus that we can be made alive, we say thank you. We bow before you. We are humbled by what you have done. We do not deserve it, and we barely understand it, God. But we say thank you. Thank you for your word that speaks this to us. Thank you for these songs that remind us. Thank you for this act that we can come together. Speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.